in the place with under some pressure. Hit and set by Gilbert Brown. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back.
Hill Gravedigger.
The back of the club, Mac and Hall, my crew's behind me.
I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Gravedigger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum.
No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benz that see notes by the layers. Shooter like players.
What's up, Packers fans? Welcome to another episode of the Packer Report podcast with Gilbert Brown, brought to you by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. I'm your host, Ross Uglum, publisher of Packer Report. And joining me today is Mr. Gilbert Brown. Gilbert, buddy, how are we doing?
Doing good, buddy. Just, finally got some sun on this side of the world, and it's a good day. Good day.
Yeah, all the snow melted off of our decks, and now all we've got is dog poop from our little ones. So that's fantastic. That 40-degree day really caused quite a mess. So we gotta deal with that. But excited to attack the off season. Got my positions for the Cheesehead TV draft guide. Gonna be doing all the scouting for pass rushers and wide receivers. One position I would say the Packers are definitely going to look at, but you can never have too much pass rush. Can never have too much pass rush. So we'll look at that as well.
Why are you doing that?
Why am I doing that?
How about we look for run stoppers? That's what we need.
Dude, I do what I'm told. All right, I'm trying to get paid out here.
We need run stoppers, man. We need more pass rushers.
Well, then I'll get. I mean, all I'm doing is
put in a telegram to the coach. Can you do that?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. Well, I'll tell Matt when I see him in Indy. I'm gonna
tell him about the Runners defense. Go ahead.
When you're looking at edge guys, Gilbert says nobody gives a shit about pass rush. We're looking for run stuffers.
My track record speaks for itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that we're gonna pick XFL teams today, guys. So I hope you're juiced for more football.
Boy.
I know that we've talked about, embracing the offseason, but maybe we don't have to. Maybe we can really throw ourselves into some spring football and we can just continue to watch ball and get excited about this new attempt at something that, boy, they just cannot seem to get right, and that is spring football. Hopefully with Vince McMahon's money, they can give it a longer run than the AAF did, because I think the AAF did some decent things. It just ultimately, I think their investors got scared, and that was sort of the big deal, because I really felt like some of the rule changes that they made and the product, even though that, obviously without the talent level being at the NFL level, the product's not going to be as good. But I was impressed. I mean, I thought they did a really good job in the AAF with what they were given, and I like some of the rule changes that the XFL has put forward. Not the crazy stuff that they tried when Vince first did this, like
second attempt. Vince,
yeah.
Second attempt.
And no fair catches, and like basically no head injury rules, no nothing, but this time around, the XFL isn't so much about the X and more, hopefully, about the football. That's what
you know. I think this time Vince went into the mind of shaking the NFL's hand instead of swatting it away. Don't you think?
I think that's a great take. I think that's exactly right, Gilbert. Yeah. Because I think the NFL and the XFL both realize that they're not that the NFL's success is dependent on the XFL, because it's absolutely not, but I think they understand, in the same way that you saw like the XFL's or the AAF sack leader, Carter Schultz, well, the Vikings signed him, and some of the other players that really played well in the AAF got into camps. And I think that the NFL recognizes that kind of second chance to look at a guy's film, and maybe you do get somebody that can help you a little earlier on in your process than, say, an undrafted rookie. You know, you get a look at maybe the best 10, 12 guys in the XFL should be on a roster next year, and you're going to give all these guys opportunities, I think, to kind of continue chasing their dream. And for Vince, you're right. I mean, for Vince to understand that he needs to be on the side of the NFL and not opposing them, and for him to understand that his best option is to be a minor league and to be a feeder system for the big time league, I think that's way smarter than, oh, we're gonna take down the NFL. Because no, you're not. it's too big a monster now.
Yeah. Yeah, for 100 years. 100
Absolutely.
Years.
Absolutely. Just want to say how proud and impressed I was with Leroy. I know when we recorded on Saturday, I was a little hot. I was a little annoyed. I think you were too. Trying to understand how this happened with him not being put in the Hall of Fame, and, you know, comparing him to the guy that did get in, just comparing their statistics and, you know, trying to figure that out. And I was very annoyed, borderline angry. And it obviously wasn't me. You know, I'm not going to the Hall of Fame ever. I can tell you that right now. It's not something that, you know, directly affects me, but Leroy is a friend of yours. He's a guy I love to watch playing, listen to his response. This is his response. The guy who actually didn't get into the Hall of Fame, not some angry writer. I was so happy for Steve Atwater. He was so nice to me all week. John Lynch, Troy, but meaning Polamalu, we all know we're going to get in one day. We're not trying to pull each other down to get in there. Steve has been a finalist forever. Matter of fact, Steve getting in now makes me the only decade member of our decade who's not in on the first team, and that's a good thing. Leroy has a lot more grace than I do. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, Leroy is a class act, man. I mean, he understands that, you know, we want him in now. He's a very patient man. I've never driven behind anybody that does under the speed limit every time.
Leroy will get there when he gets there.
He'll get there when he gonna get there safe, but he gonna get there when he get there. So I admire his patience, man, but I also admire his willing to understand the situation and be able to strive off of that. So I'm not happy, but damn it, he better get in there soon.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page with that. I mean, I just, like I said, I don't even know him, and I'm proud of him, because if I would have looked at my stats next to Steve Atwater's stats and I get a phone call that I'm not in, I might have been launching some hotel room furniture around. And he just had a big smile on his face. He was happy for Steve. You know, feels like he's going to get in soon. And man, I just, like I said, incredibly proud of Leroy, and we're going to continue the fight. We're going to continue to bring his name up.
Yeah. It's pluses and minuses to it too, you know.
Right.
They're going to feed me. They're going to pump me up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and right. I mean, he knows he, and I hope he's right. And I think he is. I mean, he's convinced that knock on the door is coming, it's fine. And it's just going to be that much cooler when he does that. Maybe we'll do I'll do a live podcast from Canton when he gets in. We'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that right on the front line. We'll just set up, we'll have a folding chair, and that giant Hall of Fame man can come bother us and ask us what the hell we're doing.
Right.
He about the only guy you could take a picture with. I mean, and you just look like a dwarf, man. He's sick.
Yeah. He really blocks out the sun.
Absolutely. Bring him golfing. Keep, you know, you don't need sunscreen. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So anyway, in the news, again, good for Leroy. Incredible positive attitude. Really, really amazed by that. Coach LaFleur finished third in Coach of the Year. I think that was probably about right. I think it would have been really hard to disagree with the coaching. So the Baltimore Ravens swept, and I know that, you know, they didn't advance in the playoffs in the way that they were hoping, but people have to understand these awards are all voted on before the playoffs. I understand when they're released, but, you know, nobody knew what was going to happen there. So Lamar Jackson wins MVP, and Greg Roman wins Assistant Coach of the Year, and John Harbaugh wins Coach of the Year. The Ravens exceeded all expectations, and that's why they ended up with all these awards. And I think LaFleur had to be mentioned just because you take a 6-win team to 13 wins, and you have to be mentioned. So I think that's about right for him. I think winning Coach of the Year might have been a little strong, especially for a first-year guy. But, man, top three in the league is nothing to shake a stick at. James Campen, was Campy there when you were around, the offensive line coach?
He was the starting center when I first got there.
Okay, so Campy is Campy's headed to the Chargers, and that's a guy with tremendous resume, tremendous Packers ties, helped turn a lot of mid-round picks, guys like Sitton, Lang, Bakhtiari, into Pro Bowl or All-Pro players. Really good offensive line coach. He's on his way out to Los Angeles now to be the O-line coach with the Chargers. And then we lost Willie Wood, Hall of Fame safety, Super Bowl hero, you know, part of those 1960s Bart Starr, Nitschke, Lombardi era teams. Willie was really an incredible story and an incredible player. You know, it was kind of from a time where, you know, black quarterbacks were not welcome, for lack of a better term. That was not going to happen. So he made a position switch after playing quarterback for USC, made a position switch to safety, and, you know, absolutely dominated. A five-time first team All Pro, 4-time second team All Pro, 5-time NFL champion, and led the NFL in interceptions in 1962. He's a 1960s All Decade team member, a Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer, and certainly a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Just for, you know, a point of reference, Atwater got in this week with 24 picks. Mr. Willie Wood had 48 picks. That's double. And again, we're not putting down Steve Atwater, just kind of marveling at how damn good Willie Wood is. Do you ever have a chance to meet Willie at any Packers alumni events, or did he come back for a game while you were playing?
Yeah, I met Willie early in my career, man. He is one of those guys, man, that's like a ambassador, man. I mean, you can feel the greatness that the guy had, and very nice human being, exceptional player. Just a guy that, you know, it's kind of like all those old legends that you like to be around. You like to hear him talk. You like to just sit down and listen to him. And you know, a lot of the guys got a lot to say, and some guys don't got much to say, but what they say speaks volumes. So my hat's off to Mr. Wood, and hope he has a great journey.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. All right, well, it is Wednesday. I'm sure people have heard the takes on the Super Bowl, but we're going to, before we get to, you know, picking XFL teams, we're going to give you a quick Super Bowl breakdown, just because you need another one. We feel like you need another one. So that first quarter about was kind of like seemed like a prize fight. Does that happen a lot in Super Bowls where it's, you know, kind of a, you're feeling each other out for a little bit? Did you feel like that is the way that things went against either New England or Denver, where you're not just, they're not just holding on to their, or succeeding rather in their first scripted 15 plays, you're kind of throwing a couple of jabs.
Yeah. It's kind of like this jab I'm about to hit you with about, you know, last podcast we was discussing this game and you picked them 49.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute. It looked good for 54 minutes.
Right. But yeah, man, that's how it is. I mean, if you can hop on them quick and first, like we did in our Super Bowl, you know, letting people know where we're coming from, you know, that's good. Sometimes it takes guys to three and a half quarters before they wake up, you know. But at the end of the day, you got to realize that Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers put on a good game. They really put on a good game. It was very entertaining. It was back and forth for a little while, and then it just opened up at the end. So Andy Reid put in, I think, a great game plan. He didn't sway from it, you know, like some coaches do. Like they said, the other coach did when they start the running game. Kind of like how what happened to us when we was playing in San Diego. And Dorsey was just toting that ball. He was toting it. And all of a sudden, we just stopped. How did we stop? You know, there's a method to coaches' madness, but we got to do what they say, and that's how it went down.
Yeah, one of my favorites, and you know how I am. I like aggressive football, and I really thought that Andy did a nice job of being aggressive and going for it on fourth and one. And then what a cool, what a cool play to call to go for it on fourth and one. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but they ran something that Bieniemy had seen in like the 1948 Rose Bowl, where they ran a dive out of the wing tee. So that kind of twirl, motion pre-snap, and then they run this play from 1948. That's the kind of thing I think that can happen when you have 2 weeks to prepare. You can go back and watch Rose Bowl film from 1948 and find some cool stuff to run. I thought that was pretty awesome. A, to go for it, and then B, kind of how he got to that play.
Mm-hmm. You know what, man? Do you remember Eric Bieniemy when he was in Colorado?
I don't remember. Gilbert, we're from different generations.
Yeah. He was a hell of a running back, man. We played Colorado a lot, and he was the featured back, man. He used to come downhill and bring it. So I know his mentality. I know how he just hates to lose. So to have a guy like that in your organization with the influence of Andy Reid, oh my God. They got a great nucleus over there at Kansas City. Their fan base is real similar to Green Bay Packers, man. I mean, you walk into their stadium, it's nothing but red. Nothing. They start doing that tomahawk chop. You better get ready, baby. I'm telling you. So I'm just so happy for those guys. They really put on the show.
Yeah, had a chance to cover the Packers-Chiefs game live this year. Third time, actually, I've been to Arrowhead, was there on behalf of North Dakota State watching Carson Wentz when the Eagles played there in 2018. And then, actually, in 2013, I was on my way down to watch North Dakota State play Kansas State. And the Packers had a preseason game the day before that game, and Vince Young, if you guys remember Vince Young's Packers tenure, as short as it was, Vince Young played about three quarters in Kansas City. That was the first time I'd ever had a chance. But yeah, Arrowhead and Lambeau, maybe not structurally, but certainly from a feel standpoint, have a lot of similarities, and the fan bases have a lot of similarities. Friendly Midwestern people, love football, love their team, know their team, you know what's going on. But are polite and you know, want to welcome you in when you're in the other team's colors and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was a really cool experience. And you talk about being annoyed for somebody that you don't even know. I still don't understand how we got through an entire head coach search process and Eric Bieniemy is not a head coach. That I struggle with that, considering what he's now put out there for 2 years. Yeah. And I understand, you know, you hear, well, he doesn't call the plays. Okay, but Matt Nagy didn't call the plays for Andy, and Doug Peterson didn't call the plays for Andy, and they both had coaches. plenty of guys that came from the Andy Reid system that didn't call plays. Mm-hmm. You know, not only not only were head coaches, but Matt Nagy for the Bears, he has a 13-3 season under his belt. Doug Peterson has a Super Bowl ring. It's not like Andy's system doesn't, right, you know, doesn't work, right, doesn't travel.
Right. You're right about that, man. And also, I mean, just listening to him speak and talk, he's a great leader, man. He is a great leader. I bet he's very motivational. I bet he's a guy that knows his X's and O's. He's been in several offenses, but he's learning under Andy Reid, which, just like you said, the other two coaches did. So, I mean, it's a shame that he didn't get a shot. But, you know, that's life, man. What can you do? We got to wait. As Leroy, we got to wait. But when we get it, watch out.
Yeah, I'm with you. Anyway. Yeah, I just think some of the guys that got hired, and with Eric not getting a shot, I struggle, but it's he'll get his shot, believe me, especially after a Super Bowl victory. I think it's going to be extremely unlikely that they don't continue on and somebody doesn't give that man a job, because he looked like a head coach. You're right, after the game when he spoke, mm-hmm, that's what a head coach sounds like. You know, that's the way that that's supposed to be, and he has been excellent for two seasons. He was, you know, when I made a top five list for the Packers when they let McCarthy go, he was in it. He was on it the whole time. Mm-hmm. They ended up going with Matt, which has worked out great for both sides. But Eric Bieniemy is going to be a head coach sooner rather than later. That is for sure. So yeah. you get the 10-3 start from. You get the 10-3 start from Kansas City. Then you get 17 unanswered by San Francisco, really flexing their muscles in the way that they did against the Packers, and showing how Kansas City kind of couldn't stop them from running the ball. Plus, you had kind of a shaky start from Mahomes. I think at one point in that game, he had one touchdown and two picks, but he might have started the game with two picks before he even threw a touchdown. He basically threw three picks because San Francisco dropped one. He was a little shaky, was Pat Mahomes, to get things going.
Yeah, you know, it's that young guy jitters, you know. Big game like that, man. Like I say, sometimes it takes you a quarter or two to get your mind right, get into it, you know. But that goes to show you what kind of player he's going to be. He's going to want that. He's going to want that attention. He's going to want that let's go. Everybody looking at me for guidance type guy, you know. And he played it pretty well, man. I mean, of course you don't want to go in the Super Bowl and throw two picks. But to end up MVP, you must be doing something damn right.
I think somebody else got robbed, but we'll talk about that in a second. You were on the Kansas City side, so you weren't screaming when I was screaming. But why Gilbert, did San Francisco abandon the run? I didn't understand it.
That blows my mind, because going into that second quarter, man, they started toting that rock, you know, and finding ways. I knew eventually Kansas City was going to figure out what they were doing to him. But to just go out gangbusters and start getting 5, 8, 9, 7, 8, you know, and I'm just like, man, what's going on? What are they doing? But to stop, I mean, it wasn't like they were down or they had to close enough to do it. But still, I'm just like, what in the world? Why would you do it? Just like I said before about us when we was playing against Denver, and we stopped running the ball. Why did we do that?
Yeah, as somebody who had picked San Francisco, that was hard. It was hard to watch. I did not understand that one bit when they were playing as well as they were. And you know, we went and did the preview show, and like I said, for 54 minutes, things went a lot of the way that I told you they were going to go. And then the last 6 minute happens, and it was big sad around here. Absolutely. So the Niners were up 10 with 6 minutes left. And they lost the game. I mean, Pat was big time, and ultimately Jimmy G was not. Were you more impressed with Mahomes late, or do you have, because I know there are guys nationally that have real concerns about Garoppolo now moving forward, just the way that they ran and ran and ran, and boy, when it was time for him to throw it, they were not good.
Yeah, Pat is the premier quarterback in this league. He got everything. He got the tools to do everything. And you look at Jimmy G, he's a pretty boy. You know, he's a pretty boy, but, you know, trying to get that ball upfield and being able to stay in the pocket and being able to take that pressure and being able to get outside the pocket and make throws like he's supposed to make, you know what I'm saying? And then you go back and, well, look, what he got, what that do? But still, when they put the ball or the game in his hands to win, what happened? It didn't work.
Yeah, they don't give you any points or any yards for being pretty. They just don't do it.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to plead your case. Congratulate Gilbert on being right.
I just knew because Kansas City, man, for some reason this year finds a way to win. And when they find a way to win, they put their foot on your throat and they go take it. You know what I'm saying? They could have been happy with that 4-point lead they had, but no, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get this. We're going to put it out of their hands just in case they get the ball back.
And that was the last point I wanted to make. That was my boy Damian Williams. Damian Williams, won me a fantasy football championship in 2018. So I ride for Damian Williams, but I felt like he got robbed, man. I think that was a very lackluster performance from Mahomes for, you know, three and a half quarters. Mm-hmm. I just didn't feel like he was the MVP of the game. I mean, you get a QBR of 61, mm-hmm. which is not great, a passer rating of 78, which is also not great. You throw two picks, 26 of 42. That's not great. And he won the game. Look, he made a huge throw on that 3rd and 15. He played really well. But my guy, Damian Williams, over six a carry with a touchdown, four catches for 29 yards, and he made the play of the game with that pylon touchdown and converting that third down with that yards after the catch. I thought Damian Williams, with the game ceiling touchdown and the game changing touchdown, He would have had my vote for MVP. I thought Damian Williams was the best Chief on the field, outside of maybe Chris Jones, and they're never going to get it to one of you big uglies, you know.
Mm-mm. But you know what, man? That's just like if you go back to our Super Bowl, I wanted Reggie Wright to be the MVP.
Right.
You know, I mean, I love Desmond to death, but, you know, three sacks, Reggie won. I mean, if Reggie don't get that last sack, man, what happens? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, so, I mean, you know, I don't know who picks what or how they do it, but I do know that Patrick Mahomes is a guy that if he didn't do what he did, if he didn't wake that team up, if he didn't, because the quarterback's always the leader of the team. So
right.
if you was in the running and you lost to the quarterback, well, then, okay, I feel if I'd have lost to some other dude, oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? So. It's just X's and those guys that picked the awards, like you said earlier in the show.
For sure. And I just wanted to shout out Chris Jones because that's a incredible stat line for a defensive tackle to have three pass breakups in the Super Bowl. His ability, and he's got great length, but his ability to his ability to understand when you're not going to get there, you know, when you're not going to get there and you get your hands up and bat down those passes, he broke up some stuff where Garoppolo had some guys open and they were going to get down the field and even convert some important downs. And, very, just super impressive.
Now, wasn't he hurt or something? Was he hurt before the playoffs or something like that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't.
Got back or something happened.
Yeah, he played in all of the playoffs. See how many games he played this year. He looks like he played. Looks like he played in about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So he missed two games this year. Okay. He missed two games this year with injury. One of them actually being the Green Bay game. So maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought Damian Williams got robbed, but you're right. They're always going to give it to the quarterback. All right. Let's take a second here to pay the bills and thank our boys over at Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. You know, one aspect we've never really talked about is that Banquet Hall. We're always talking about the menu and the drink specials and stuff like that. But Stadium View, you really have an opportunity, and they have these packages for if you're looking to do a wedding. First class amenities, rehearsal dinner, bridal shower, whatever. They've got some excellent, you know, food menus. They'll basically cater it, obviously, themselves, but they've got, they can accommodate groups from 30 to 900 people. You've got walking distance to four major hotels, three full service bars. They've got comprehensive wedding packages, custom menu planning. They have, complimentary tickets for brides to be to attend the Stadium View wedding show. So they do a wedding show in there showing some of the, you know, new dresses or new whatever. Y'all have been to wedding shows, so you know what wedding shows are about a lot more than a guy like me or Gilbert would. But yeah, these guys are full service, man. They can make it happen from the wedding standpoint, and they make it happen every Sunday with you, Gilbert.
Yeah, they do. I mean, Stadium View speaks for itself with the things that they got going on. And like you said, the banquet hall is huge. It is so huge, and there's a lot of atmosphere going on. I mean, the bar has its own personality. The banquet hall has. I mean, if you want to go wild and crazy, let's go in the bar and get, you know, do whatever. If you want to sit down, relax, watch the game, warm up, do whatever, the banquet hall is there, especially when it starts getting cold in Green Bay. So Stadium View, Bar Grill, Banquet Hall, great food, great drinks, great atmosphere, fun time, and yes, they do take great care of me.
Absolutely, absolutely. We really appreciate them as our title sponsor, getting this baby off the ground. Such a warm response from you guys. We really appreciate all the positive feedback, and we want to keep this baby going. We really appreciate Stadium View's role in that, absolutely no question about it. All right, Gilbert, it's XFL time.
Hey, wait, before we do that.
Okay, okay.
Before we do that, I really enjoyed, and I was listening, you know, I watch a little sports stuff every now and then. I really enjoyed that first opening thing to the Super Bowl where the kid was running the football, and Jim Brown was sitting on the bench, and he said, "Take it to the house, kid," you know. And I did, and then you watched that commercial, and it got to the Pat Tillman part. For some people, what was the gripe on that, man?
Just kind of, I think the gripe on the Pat Tillman part is, if you're on the other side of the Kaepernick deal, you know, it's kind of, they see it as rubbing it in the face, or, you know, taking kind of advantage of Pat. I don't agree with it. I mean, I'm not, I'm just telling you kind of what people's issues with that are. Pat has, his widow has basically said that on the Kaepernick thing, Pat actually would have sided with Kaepernick as far as his freedom to protest and things like that. And people that are anti-Kaepernick, you know, put up Pat as an example of somebody that fought for the flag. And his widow has basically said, well, that's not even, you know, how he felt about it. So, I mean, that's kind of where, if there is any controversy, it lies. But I had absolutely no issue with that.
Me either, man. I mean, everybody always trying to change things, man, this time of day. I mean, just let's enjoy it. To me, it was a nice homage to him, you know what I'm saying? Because they could have picked anybody, done anything. And they picked him, and it was beautiful, man. The whole commercial was beautiful, from the kid catching the ball to him handing the ball off to the ref. that with all the legends coming through that tunnel, it was beautiful, man. To me, the best commercial of the day and the best in a long time.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really liked it. It seemed like a lot of the NFL greats liked it. You know, I it wasn't just you that I saw super positive feedback from. It seems like everybody really enjoyed that commercial and that, you know, that kind of idea. But all right, we've got a chance here for some more football. And
yes,
that was something that we were excited about, something we wanted to talk about. We wanted to select just so people can line up with us if they so choose. We wanted to select our XFL teams. Yeah. We wanted to kind of get what's going on figured out in this league. Something that I thought was really cool is the fact that they're not running any concurrent games. So every XFL game has its own stage, which I thought is really interesting. So like in week one, the Dragons and the Defenders will go at 1 o'clock Central on ABC. Then at 4 o'clock Central, the Wildcats and the Roughnecks will go. Then on Sunday, you'll have 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock with the Vipers versus Guardians and Battlehawks versus Renegades. You're always going to have two games a day. And I shouldn't say always. That changes actually towards the end. The last 2 weeks of the season, there's going to be Thursday games, which is cool. But up until then, you're going to have two games on Saturday, never at the same time, and two games on Sunday, never at the same time. So if you want 6 hours of football, two, you know, both days of the weekend, mm-hmm. by God, they're going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm. The lull is over. We always sitting around and waiting until the draft in April. But from now until April, there, if you're a fan of football, there is nothing. It's like, oh, my God, you just got to sit here and watch nothing. Well, if you're a basketball fan, you know, March Madness coming up and all that good stuff. But hey, my team, brother. I haven't picked my team. You pick your team yet so far?
I did. I did. I've got some selfish reasons, if you will, or some personal reasons for my pick. And I'll go through my pick and kind of my roster, and then we can go through yours and people can line up where they want. Certainly I would say not a easy regional decision for any Packers fans. These teams are not close to the upper Midwest. They're not. This is a very, very southern or very coastal.
No cold weather team.
Oh my God. So yeah, so think about this. You got DC, Seattle, East Coast, West Coast, LA, West Coast, mm-hmm. Houston, Gulf of Mexico, mm-hmm. Tampa, East Coast, New York, East Coast, Seattle, West or St. Louis. Oh, there's your upper Midwest team. Yeah, St. Louis, yeah. Battlehawks. There you go. There you go. All right. Dallas Renegades. Well, I'm going to quick spoiler. Neither of us picked St. Louis. So we're not Gilbert and Ross are not riding for the upper Midwest. So I'm rolling with the New York Guardians. And the reason that I'm rolling with the New York Guardians is not because of the coaching staff. It is because of my guy, Nick DeLuca. Nick played 4 years at North Dakota State, was a multiple-time All-American, spent some time, was drafted or was signed originally with the Tennessee Titans, I think, and then they wanted to make him a tight end, even though he played 4 years a linebacker, which was odd, and then signed by Jacksonville, actually started some games at linebacker for Jacksonville and is trying to keep his dream alive. But he is a guy that I know personally and that I really am kind of mentally invested in his success. I hope he does well. Joey Embu is a former Colt and former Packer defensive tackle. Joey Embu is also on the New York Guardians. One of my favorite players, Ben Heaney, is another really, really good linebacker. This is going to be a team with good linebackers, this New York Guardians squad. And as far as any other names that you guys might know, or guys that, you know, are have Packers ties, you remember Marquise Williams, who was the number three quarterback in camp one year. Marquise was brought in as an undrafted free agent to Green Bay. They've got Teo Redding, who was just a Packer. Justin Vogel was the starting punter in Green Bay for a number of years. So they've got guys that you know, have been around in Green Bay, and guys whose names you know people know and remember. Matt McGloin, the quarterback for Penn State that spent, it seems like, a decade in the NFL. But McGloin and Marquise Williams would be the quarterbacks for this squad, and a few Packers, ties, and certainly some personal ties for me. So I'm gonna be a New York Guardians kind of guy, and Gilbert's gonna go a different direction.
Yes, I am. I'm going with them L.A. Wildcats. I'm feeling my L.A. in me, man. A lot of Green Bay ties over there. But most importantly, my man Pepper Johnson is the DC over there. He did some DCing in New England. He was over in New England for a long time, but he was the middle linebacker for that New York Giants defense, number 52. Went to Ohio State, was a great linebacker over there, but we went to the same high school together. So Pep's a great motivator, but he is a winner, a proven winner. So I'm going to roll with them L.A. Wildcats and see what they do. I think we're going to smack a little bit of these Guardians up and down the field.
Let's take a quick look here, and I'm gonna break down the Wildcats roster for Packer fans and for our fans in a second. So the L.A. New York showdown between Gilbert and Ross is not coming until week 4. So, yeah, Saturday, February 29th at 2 o'clock is when the Guardian Wildcat throwdown is going down. And I believe that will be the one time that they play it. There's going to be an unbalanced schedule, obviously, 8 teams, 10 weeks, but I don't think that unbalanced schedule makes L.A. and New York play each other twice, because that's a lot of travel miles. It's going to be tough for you, Gilbert. You don't like to get on the plane and going out to see your Wildcats play in L.A., that's going to be a long car trip.
Yeah. I think thank God that we got all these technologies today that we can figure out a way to watch them. I mean, they never put my Jayhawks on any kind of TV, so... What's the difference?
So the guy that I want to shout out for the LA Wildcats is Josh Johnson. And this is a quarterback out of San Diego. I've mentioned a number of times, obviously, I cover North Dakota State. San Diego is in their division. They're in the FCS division. San Diego is a really interesting program in that they are Division I, but they are non-scholarship Division I. That is where Jim Harbaugh, not John, Jim Harbaugh, the 49ers coach and now Michigan's coach, this is where he got his start, was really building up that program in San Diego without scholarships. And so Josh Johnson is from the University of San Diego, was drafted in the fifth round in 2008 by Tampa. Let's go through the teams that he has been on since that time in 08. So Tampa, 08 to 11. Then he was a practice squad or offseason member with the San Francisco 49ers. Then he stayed in the area and played for the Sacramento Mountain Lions. The Sacramento Mountain Lions were in the UFL, which I do not believe is still playing. No, the UFL died in 2012. So he was a Sacramento Mountain Lion in 2012. Then he was a Cleveland Brown in 2012. Then on to the Bengals, then the Niners. Back to the Bengals, back to the Jets, all in the same offseason. Then spent the regular season with the Colts and Bills, then the Ravens, then the Giants, and then in 2017, the Texans. Then in the 18 offseason, he was with the Raiders, but he spent the 18 season with Washington. Then he spent 2019 with the Lions and now is the quarterback of the Los Angeles Wildcats. What a commitment to the dream. I mean, I think you have to respect that. Do you not?
I mean, yes, you do. I mean, just the dedication and the heartbreak and the moving around. And if you got a family and your kids in school, oh, my gosh, that's just everybody committed to dad's dream. You know what I'm saying? But for a guy to be doing that for so long and have the ambition to keep going and keep giving him all these shots, you got to take your hat off to him. That's a guy that really loves the game of football.
Absolutely, for sure. And so some names that you guys might know. Nick Novak is a pretty well-known kicker, has kicked for the, at the time, the San Diego Chargers, but has just been around the league. Adonis Jennings was a Packer, I believe, a off-season Packer, a guy that you might have seen in, you know, various preseason games. I don't think he ever made the roster necessarily. The guy that you guys are really going to cheer for and is I think on the Mayfield Sports roster is Dewan Harris, the used car salesman. Everybody remembers Dewan Harris. Is that your boy?
Yeah, no, Dewan. Yes, I do. Yeah, he's a good kid, man. Real good kid, man. Real good.
So Dewan Harris still getting after it, 5'7", 206, the used car salesman.
So he's on L.A.?
He's on your squad. Yeah,
yeah, I know I picked good.
He's on your squad. My guy, Nico Siragusa, a guy that I loved in the draft, and just, golly, he has not been able to stay healthy. Big old offensive guard from San Diego State, was like a fourth-round pick, man. And I thought was going to be, you know, an 8 to 10 year starter in the league, maybe not a star, but a really good guard. And just for the life of him has not been able to come back from that knee injury. He spent the offseason this year with the Packers and was released with those final cuts. So he's going to kind of keep the dream alive. But you guys remember, hopefully, Nico Siragusa. And that's kind of it as far as the Packers ties. But some really strong ones. And then you guys will remember, I think you might have to go back a little bit, but you can possibly remember the Sean Oakman story. Do you know Sean Oakman, Gilbert?
That name sounds familiar.
So do you remember that picture of the giant Terminator-looking dude for Baylor at the coin toss where he just towered over everybody and, like, the ref was there looking 3 feet tall? And
yeah,
he looked, yeah. I mean, he looked real scary. He looked like Bane.
Yeah.
So basically what happened is he was arrested on a sexual assault charge right before the 2016 draft and did not get drafted. And then in 2019, he was found not guilty. And that, you know, kind of, I mean, it ruined his career. It took 3 years away from his career, that allegation, that charge. Mm-hmm. And so now he's kind of trying to get his career on track. He played in for the Bismarck Bucks of the Indoor Football League in 2018, played in the American Arena League with the West Virginia Rough Riders. I mean, he has just been trying so hard to return to professional football. And so this is his opportunity, I think, to return. But yeah, 6'9", 280, just an unbelievable size of an athlete, unbelievable size of a man. So there's another interesting story for your Wildcats is wow. Sean Oakman trying to kind of recapture what he was never able to get because of that arrest right before the draft. So there you have it, folks. You've got me riding with the New York Guardians. You've got Gilbert with the LA Wildcats. Certainly going to have nicer weather if you go out and watch Gilbert's crew play. There's absolutely no question about that for sure. So anyway, we are running out of time. In fact, we are completely out of time. So we want to thank you guys for sticking around on this somewhat longer show. We want to thank Gilbert for his time this morning. We definitely want to thank our title sponsor, Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. Guys, there are two huge ways to help out this show, and that is, number one, to become a VIP member over at Packer Report. Right now, 60% off today. 24/7 Sports, which is kind of our parent company, is a big recruiting website. And today for the college sites is National Signing Day, the second signing period. Recruiting is huge, obviously, doesn't apply to the Packers, but we get the discount anyway, so you got to love that. The other thing is to tell as many of your Packer fan friends as you can about this show. Make sure they're subscribing. Make sure you're subscribing so the latest episode of the Packer Report podcast is automatically downloaded to the device of your choosing. Guys, have a wonderful rest of your week. Get ready for the XFL and go Pack Go.